Hi, everybody, and thanks for tuning in to the Ask a Private Lender podcast. As always, I'm your host, Lawrence, and I'm joined with my co-host, Joseph Fuchs. For people who haven't heard the podcast before, this is our, it's our fifth episode now. I'm one of the co-founders of Mortgage Automator, along with Joseph Fuchs. Today, we have an interesting guest because typically we focus on private lenders, and we felt like it'd be a great idea to bring Roger Mitchell in. He's the head of financial institution strategy and innovation over at Equifax Canada. And why we felt it was important is because there's a lot of new rule changes coming into effect that are going to greatly affect private lenders, brokers, and the way you're going to proceed to do business in the forthcoming future. So, Roger, number one, thank you for stopping by and joining us today. Really excited to have you.
Really appreciate you coming on board.
Thank you.
Before we dive into all the new rules and go through all those changes, why don't you tell everyone a little bit about yourself? So I gave out the job title. What does that mean to first starters? What are you in charge of? What do you do? Let's go from there.
Yeah, no, thanks. And before I begin, would like to thank Mortgage Automator. You guys have been fantastic. So thanks for having me. Yeah, my role at Equifax, I'm responsible for our vertical markets. So essentially vertical markets means industries that we service. And obviously Equifax services multiple industries, such as government, auto, mortgage, credit cards, insurance, probably forgotten a couple. But I head up that group. And what we're responsible for is really deeply understanding the various verticals or industries that we service. And we work very closely with the industry to come up with new and innovative ways to service the market. That's my role at Equifax. Just to give you a little bit of background, I've been at Equifax for about 8.5 years. I've had a variety of different roles. I started out as a consultant working with subprime and non-prime lenders in Canada, really helping them launch various businesses at that time. And I slowly progressed as I grew at Equifax.
Very interesting. And, you know, 8.5 years at Equifax, but I did see like you worked at banks previously.
Yeah.
So how did that transition happen from, you know, you're working at a bank to you're getting to Equifax? And was it something that you always wanted to do? Is it something that you fell into? How did we get here?
That's a good question. To be honest, I'd worked with Equifax while at a bank, but I'd never considered working for a credit bureau while at a bank or any of the other companies I worked for. So how did I get here? If I could take a step back, I was in school for quite a bit, did an undergraduate and master's degree at the University of Waterloo. After I graduated, I looked for a job. I moved to Toronto. I lived in Kitchener-Waterloo. And I ended up working at an advertising agency called Wonderman. Just where that happened to be located was right across the street from BMO. You know, from when I started at Wonderman, I always wanted to work at a bank, basically. So I had a couple jobs in between my initial job and when I ended up working for BMO. But when I ended up at BMO, I had various positions, primarily in data and analytics. So really understanding sort of customer behavior, understanding different products. So I worked in cards, personal lines of credit, auto, as well as mortgage. So really understanding from a bank perspective how customers use certain products. I actually moved on to RBC, and then I was recruited over to Equifax. When I joined Equifax, it wasn't something that I was necessarily planning on. It just kind of happened.
Kind of fell in your lap. And obviously being there for 8.5 years, you know, I can assume that you do enjoy being there. Is there anything, and this is a kind of a weird question to ask, but everyone knows what a credit bureau is, right? Like you learn growing up that, you know, keep your credit bureau clean because you're going to want to borrow money later. And if it's not if you don't have a good score or you're overutilized, you maybe can't get those loans. Is there anything that's like unique that maybe you learned being on the other side that the general public maybe doesn't understand? You know, one of the things that I've noticed, like you have a phone bill, it's $30 a month, $50, $100 a month. It doesn't sound like a big thing in the grand scheme of things. But if you don't pay this one little phone bill, it could really affect getting a mortgage even, a car loan, getting whatever it might be.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, it's interesting because now my understanding is like TELUS and Rogers actually report on a monthly basis your phone bills, whereas before they'd only just put it in collections and it would only affect your score that way. Whereas now I believe, Roger, correct me if I'm wrong, they are reporting every month to say that you're paying your bills.
Yep, you're absolutely right. And I think with that being said, I think the answer to the question is just having accountability and responsibility. So even the little things matter, right? And, you know, just being on this side of the fence here is obviously some of the things that you wouldn't normally think would have an effect on someone's ability to get credit or a loan ultimately will affect those things. Perhaps really pervasive, specifically in the mortgage industry, because I get this question all the time. It's in and around inquiries. And I get this question all the time when I'm at, or when we were having conferences and shows, how much does an inquiry impact a credit score? And the answer to the question is that all credit scores have deduping logic. So even if I am shopping for a mortgage, and typically when a consumer shops for a mortgage, any bureau considers it a shopping trade, which basically means we know that, you know, Roger's going to go out to several different lenders to get a mortgage. Every score dedupes that. Right. So I think to the average person out there, they may think that, you know, I've got all these inquiries, but actually what happens is that, yes, there are multiple inquiries, but they're deduped when considering a credit score. And in most cases, from a credit scoring perspective, because that's considered one credit seeking event, most credit scores won't include that inquiry for a specific period of time. So they won't, if you're doing it today, it won't be calculated in your score for 30 days. So it will give the consumer the benefit of shopping without harming their credit today.
Right. Now, let me ask you a question. When it comes to something like that, if I go to Rogers and I go to TELUS and I go to Bell to apply for a phone and they're all going to pull, is that going to be three separate credit pulls, even if it's all in that same period of time? Or would you say that you guys only treat it as like one hit?
We consider shopping trades to be auto and mortgage. So if you have a multiple scenario where you just gave where you were, you know, multiple lenders, we would treat that as one single credit seeking event. In the example you gave, we would treat it as three separate inquiries.
Interesting. And even if, for example, let's bring up mortgages. Let's say you go to one brokerage house, then another brokerage house, and a third one, and again, three different mortgage brokers pull your credit within literally 72 hours. Does that literally count as three separate pulls again?
No.
It does not. It will be treated as one. Excellent.
Absolutely. And it's because what we've done is we've aggregated all the mortgage specific information under what we call an industry code. So given that we've done that, that's treated as one single credit seeking event for a specific period of time.
See, and I think that's a really important point that you're making, because I think a lot of people have a misunderstanding of, oh, someone's already pulled my credit yesterday. I don't want you pulling it, so it's going to hit my score again. And I think that's really important to let people understand, whether you're the consumer or whether you're the broker listening or even the lender listening. If a broker's pulled someone's report and you're the lender and you want to do your own inquiry just to make sure it will not affect the borrower's score. So just
interesting.
Please keep that in mind. And that's a really
that's interesting, because I was looking for a mortgage like a month ago, and then I had two people. I'm like, oh, can you not pull it, because I don't want it to be here to hear. I mean, it doesn't affect it anyway. So let's talk about all the new changes coming to Equifax, the new rules. I think it's important, especially with lenders listening to the podcast. What can you tell them that's going on? What should they know? Obviously, they got to get credentialed. Maybe we'll touch on that a little bit as well. Let's talk about those changes.
Well, what lenders should know is that this is not something that just happened overnight. This is something that we've been working with the industry for probably just more than 12 months. So essentially, as you know, we're committed to ensuring that the right level of transparency is provided to the consumer, as well as the appropriate data security in the ecosystem exists. So the changes that we're bringing to market on September the 14th will address these two things. So essentially, as of September the 14th, only credentialed members of Equifax will be entitled to receive Equifax information. And what we're also saying is that to ensure the right level of data security, our information can only flow through credentialed platforms, which have been vetted by Equifax. As well as in current state, what typically happens is that a broker will share a deal with multiple lenders, but on the consumer file, there's nothing that says to a consumer that lender A and B saw my credit file.
Right.
What will be happening afterwards is that we're going to be working with all the different connectors, as we call it, to ensure that the consumer inquiry is posted to the consumer credit file.
That makes perfect sense. So a borrower or whoever's credit score and bureau that is, they have a right to see who's looked at their personal information. And this is a way to make sure that anyone who gets to put their eyes on that confidential information, there's going to be a tracking and a report of that so that that individual knows who accessed it. Now,
well, I was going to say, I think it's just a level of accountability from all parties to be transparent to the consumer as to what's going on with their financial information. And I think for the longest period of time, and Lori, you know, it's sort of an interesting topic, another topic for another day, but people's information is being spread out throughout the internet via email, via other unsecure connections, and that data could go anywhere and the wrong people could have access to it and then potentially abuse that information to do bad with it, so, or harm to that consumer. So I do see and appreciate where you guys are coming from by making these changes. I was going to say, you know, you've been there for 8.5 years. What have been kind of sort of the changes that you've seen since you started to today? Because this is a pretty big change.
I think that the changes that I've seen in the 8 years is really kind of what's happened in the market. I think that this change and the scrutiny that's being placed in this ecosystem is really due to the fact we're seeing an increase in, number one, data breaches. We're also seeing consumers want a level of transparency. So there has to be what we call the requisite permissible purpose. So if you did view a consumer credit file, did you have the consent? Did you have the right authorization to view that credit file? I think that those are the things that certainly have evolved in terms of the scrutiny, and that, you know, more reasons why this is going into place on September the 14th.
Now, anytime there's a new rule that gets put into effect, I'd say it's, and I'm sure you guys are thinking about it like this, but there's a progression of people understanding the rule and then actually following the proper process. I'm sure there's going to be people who maybe they don't hear about the new rule. They get a credit bureau. They send it off to someone else. They're breaking the rules unknowingly, right? You know, because I think any new rule takes a period of time so for people to get caught up to speed and understand what's going on. What can you say about, number one, if people do receive a credit bureau and they do send it off and they don't know they're not supposed to do that, are there any repercussions that can come of that? How will Equifax know what's going on, or they won't, and it's more of an honor system type system? And I know you guys are doing a great job of trying to get out there and educate people. It all takes time. September 14th is just...
It's a week away. Today is the ninth
when we're recording this. So you're talking about 5 days from now. How are you guys going to stay on top of people if you had that discussion at Equifax?
So the good news is that we've reached most of the broker community. In fact, the last numbers I saw suggested that we're very close to signing up most, if not all, brokers that do business with Equifax.
Excellent.
Where there is an opportunity, to your point, is really, I believe, in the private lending space from a lender perspective, where traditionally they may not have had a relationship with Equifax, which is why we're very happy to partner with Mortgage Automator. So what we've been doing is exactly what you just said, is we've been really kind of out there and spreading the message, doing as many of these podcasts, webinars, different session calls, et cetera, to educate the market. What we are relying on is the fact that, you know, we have contracts with brokers as well as lenders, but also we're hoping that the connectors that we work with will help us amplify the message so that their base, their customer base, knows as well. I think that there's going to be a certain number of folks that unfortunately still won't follow the rules, won't be aware. And, you know, it's very hard to guarantee that everyone is going to follow. We're asking that people do the right thing. Right. We're asking you know, we're doing this specifically for the consumer. We're doing it for very, very, what I would say is very structured reasons, consumer consent and transparency, as well as data security and protection. I think it makes sense. And we're asking people to do the right thing.
Yeah. If you're a broker or you're a lender and you're running things above board, there is no reason not to follow the rules.
And to get credentialed. There's no reason.
And to get credentialed. There's no reason from a funding perspective. Okay, funding deals through systems may cost a little bit of money to do it. But number one, it's easier to access the data. You know that everything's secure. From the broker's perspective, nothing changes. It just makes everyone's job easier to go through these systems. And it ensures that confidential information is staying confidential. Because, right, you know, if you think about yourself, right, and you think about your own credit bureau, you don't want your information floating around, right? And you should follow the rules, because you know, you should treat everyone else the way you want to be treated and the way you want your information to be treated. So stay above board, follow the rules. It's not a significant change. Right?
No,
is just becoming easier this way.
And I will say that a lot of the automator clients who have applied to get credentialed have been credentialed quite quickly because Equifax has made a huge effort to make sure that our clients and any other lenders are going to be above board for that date. So kudos to you guys for being on top of that and pushing things, essentially just getting things done and getting these guys all approved so they can continue business as usual. Now, I do want to talk about something because it is obvious that some guys will still not follow. We do want to get something out there. We want to let lenders know, brokers know, if they don't follow the rules and they hypothetically do get caught, whether it's via random audit or whatever, what are the repercussions of not following the rules that are set to start September 14th?
Well, it's very simple. The repercussions are your credentials will be revoked. You will not be an Equifax member. You will not participate using our information in this ecosystem. I'm sure that there's other sort of legal and security parameters that we can kind of lean on. But as far as just operating on a day-to-day basis, we will revoke someone's membership.
And that's huge. You know, Equifax, in the private world, private mortgage space, people only use Equifax. Any other company that does credit bureaus, not interested in seeing them. Equifax is the premier company to deal with credit. You definitely don't want to lose those credentials.
That's, it's the only company that Mortgage Automator deals with. So if you lose your credentials, even being an automator client or potential automator client, it'll be extremely difficult for you to continue conducting business.
So Roger, lenders who are listening right now who have not been credentialed yet, they haven't reached out to you, the deadline's around the corner, who should they get in touch with? How should they get in touch with you to get those credentials?
Perfect. Most private lenders won't have an existing relationship with Equifax. So we're asking those lenders to reach out to the following email address, na.accounts.services@equifax.com. Once you reach out, you'll get a digital link with all the different relevant forms which we'll need to sign. And one of those links or forms will be a CASP document, which you'll need to identify the third party that you're using or the connector. So in most cases, it will be Filogix, but I know that Mortgage Automator is also working to get a direct connection. So in that particular instance, the lender would write down Mortgage Automator, and they would send that back to Equifax.
And for brokers who are also lenders who are already credentialed on the broker side of things, do they have to do anything to be credentialed as a lender as well? Or
Yes, they do. The process is much, much more lighter. They still need to identify who the third-party connector is.
Okay.
They will receive a member number, which Equifax will share with the connector. But the onboarding process is much, much more simpler because they have an existing relationship with Equifax.
Right, right. Okay, yeah, because there's a lot of quasi-broker
hybrids.
You know, they're a hybrid, we like to call them, right? So they manage their own pool of investors, they have their admin license, but they're already credentialed on the other side. So that's interesting.
So Roger, yeah. I was going to say, so Roger, just to be clear and for everyone listening, even if you're connected to Filogix via a third-party software like Mortgage Automator, if you are not credentialed by Equifax, you will only be receiving the application and not the bureau that comes with it that normally they're used to receiving.
That's correct.
Okay. And I'm presuming that these connectors, whether it's Filogix or Lendesk, who we're also connected with, they will not attach it. They will not provide. That's an arrangement or understanding that you've already made with these connectors.
The industry changes we're making are specific to the entire industry. It's the exact same thing.
Okay.
I have a question for you, Roger. Sure. Why are credit bureaus so complicated to look at and read for the average person, right? Like when I look at a credit bureau, there's a lot of stuff that I don't know why it's there, right? Typically, I'm looking for accounts, you know, are things bouncing or are they not making their payments or how far are they behind? Number one, is there a place on the Equifax website to go where it actually describes what is on a credit bureau or is there some sort of a resource that explains it? And number two, like, why is it complicated? Why is there all that stuff?
Good question. So I guess I'll kind of start with the end. So there certainly is a resource tool that I can provide to you. We actually have a microsite, which basically has an explainer in terms of how to read the bureau. You may be aware that Equifax made some recent changes and enhancements to the existing broker credit report on May the 4th. We have heard some of the feedback that you're sharing right now in terms of it is difficult to read. So what we've done is we are working with various constituents in the ecosystem to understand, you know, what is it that a broker, as well as lenders, what do they want to see on a report? We've actually just gone through kind of those particular discussions. But I do want to say the last thing that we want to do is just implement a change on May the 4th and then do another change right away. So we want to make sure that, number one, we understand what the new kind of suggested sort of bureau is going to look like, which we've just concluded. We haven't officially decided when the new report will come in. We're still working on that. As far as why it looks that way, to be perfectly honest, you know, we've tried our best to provide new and enhanced and value-added services into this channel, which would essentially drive efficiencies as well as give brokers what they need to close more deals, basically. We realize as we've gone through that, it's harder to read.
Right.
And it's primarily due to our current technology stack. However, we are, you know, going through a business transformation where we're going to be able to do things in a much, much more consumer as well as our customer friendly way. So the average broker or lender is going to see a much, much different Equifax when we do launch this transformation that we're going through. And it's part of the reason why that, you know, we haven't really kind of landed on a date when this new bureau is going to come out, but we expect this to come out Q2 next year, high level. It could change, but again, we don't want to make a lot of changes knowing that we just introduced a new credit report.
Of course.
Completely get it. And I'm sure over the years, there's been updates to credit bureaus. Is there something that's in the pipeline, there could be, there could not be, that you guys are working towards in terms of different sources of data that are being collected? Like, I know mortgages is like a newer thing that's been on the
that's been
credit
pretty
bureaus,
that's
right?
been pretty recent,
what is
right?
That, like maybe like a year or two, maybe
a few years
reporting mortgages. Is there something else that maybe we're not even thinking about that you guys are on the way to implementing?
Yeah, there's only probably so much I can tell you, but what I can tell you more generally is that because we're focused on the different industries and verticals that I mentioned, I think you can expect as we embed ourselves in these industries to give the industry what they want. So if we're talking specifically about mortgage, we know that people are interested in the collateral, the credit, and the capacity. And if you can think about the types of information that's out there, I think you can expect a more what we call a verticalized report. So a credit report that's not just a credit report, but it may be specific to mortgage. And what broker or lender may want that will help improve efficiencies on a deal. You know, even having this conversation, we're very much aware of what different industries need. So that's where we're kind of headed. I probably couldn't share the specifics, but just at a high level, we're very focused on providing and solving for business needs and challenges.
So like customization towards the sector that you're working with. Very interesting. Why is Equifax the leader? You know what, like, you know, there's other credit reports out there, but the only thing I ever hear of is Equifax.
They don't even call it, by the way, they don't even call it a credit bureau. I've got the borrower's Equifax.
Yeah, exactly.
You know
right?
what I mean?
It's like, grab me a Kleenex. It's a tissue, but it's Kleenex, right?
Right.
Why are you guys the leader?
I think a little bit has to do with the fact that we've been blessed with sort of the market share that we have in Canada, as well as the dominance that we've had specifically in mortgage. I think we've done a really good job, if I might say, in terms of just understanding the various folks in the ecosystem and partnering with great partners that can help us, as I said, amplify our message. So whether it's just an awareness or whether it's just understanding, hey, did you know Equifax can do this? I mean, we've been talking about bureaus, but we're also a leader in fraud, identity, and KYC, AML as well. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we're fortunate to do, but I think that we leverage our data uniquely. I think that Equifax also has unique analytical tools, which we won't go into here, but also I think that it has a lot to do with our people as well. So we really have a strong team at headquarters, but we're really fortunate to work with each and every one of yourself, partners, as well as customers that are in the mortgage ecosystem.
We appreciate that. So Roger, Equifax outlook for the next 10 years, anything that you guys have on the roadmap that you want to share?
Yeah, I just think generally, Equifax views itself as a consumer-friendly bureau. and we're focused on the things that matter to consumers. And we know that consumers are focused on reducing friction, you know, making the loan origination process simpler and easier, and digitizing it, quite frankly. So we're currently going through a, as I mentioned before, a transformation, which is going to see us significantly improve our product offerings and services to both our B2B customers as well as the end customer. So I think that if you were to kind of look at sort of the future state, I think you will see kind of like what I alluded to, us continuing to really be focused on areas where consumers are focused. So whether that be complete digitization, whether it be differentiated data assets, or bringing in data and analytics to provide market insights, I think that that's what you should expect.
It's very exciting.
Now, working with Equifax, working in the banks, sounds like you've kind of worked your way up the ladder. Any piece of advice that maybe you've learned from bosses in the past, colleagues in the past, that would put someone on the right track, or maybe a habit that someone has that you saw like, oh, that's interesting, and you kind of worked it into your life? Anything, any tips, any advice you could share?
It's going to sound like motherhood, but you know what? The biggest advice I can give is just concede that you don't know everything, and there's always going to be somebody smarter than you in the room. And one thing I've learned is that it's incredible to lean on experience and wisdom. There's always going to be somebody that knows something that you hadn't thought of or just has been through around the block a couple times. And being able to leverage that in terms of whatever an individual that's listening to this might be wanting to do, I think that's going to be really, really helpful. The other thing is, I would say I've done personally, I still try to do, is just be always willing to learn. I consider myself and always consider myself to be a lifelong learner. In my various roles, I didn't know everything. I've been fortunate to be blessed with great teams, to be blessed with great partners such as yourselves, where I can have sort of that very transparent conversation to say, hey, what do you guys think, right? So I just think that, you know, just being willing to learn is going to be really key in terms of progressing in one's career.
Completely agree with you. Yeah, there's always someone smarter in the room, isn't there, right?
It's a very good point.
Yeah, definitely. And final thoughts. I always ask all of our guests, your pizza spot, where should someone go? And whether if it's Toronto, it's Toronto, that's good. If it's Waterloo, I'll take that too. But we're going to add it to the list. I'm going to make a trip. So.
Wow, my pizza spot. Well, I'll give you my kid's pizza spot. It's Pizzaville. I live in Oakville now. So okay. It's a local shop here, and they love it. It's made to order. It's apparently the best pizza in Oakville. Highly suggested if you're around.
I make myself around when it comes to these sorts of things. Very important.
He's not kidding.
I'm not kidding. So
Give me a call.
Absolutely. Just as a recap, lenders, if you're not credentialed, reach out to Equifax. It's important that you get credentialed because unfortunately you will not be able to receive credit bureaus the right way. And it's important that we all continue to work following the rules. You know, it may sound like a pain at the start to go through the process, but it's a must. You have to do it. You heard it here. If you start doing things the wrong way, there are going to be repercussions. And reach out, get credentialed. It's important. Make sure that confidential information is not being passed around the wrong way.
Lenders, if you're getting these bureaus from brokers, you've got to be the bigger person and tell brokers they shouldn't be sending you these bureaus off the grid. They need to be either getting the board to pull their own credit bureau temporarily or just strongly recommending to do it the right way by submitting through a digital system. And again, we further want to tell everyone, please make sure you do get credentialed. Equifax will look after you and get you taken care of.
Thanks to everyone for tuning in. Follow Mortgage Automator on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, and Automator Group on Twitter. Go to askaprivatelender.com to check out all of our latest podcast episodes. Roger Mitchell, Equifax.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
I think it was informative. I think it's definitely something that people need to listen to and understand because, listen, the changes are coming. And whether you're listening to what's going on or you're not, the changes are still happening. And I'll just conclude with, yeah, follow the rules. You heard it from Roger. You know what you got to do. Reach out, get credentialed. And until next time, again, I'm Lawrence and joined by Joseph. And Roger, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.